From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Leaders of the G20 countries wrapped up a global economic summit in Toronto this weekend with a pledge to cut budget deficits in half within 3 years. President Obama insists that won't jeopardize short-term efforts to sustain the economic recovery. NPR Scott Horsley reports.
President Obama came into the G20 summit urging his colleagues not to pull the plug too quickly on economic stimulus efforts. That warning took a back seat during the meeting to fears of big budget deficits, but Mr. Obama argues the two goals are not mutually exclusive.
Every economy is unique, and every country will chart its own unique course, but make no mistake, we are moving in the same direction.
Mr. Obama also used the G20 meetings to advance his goal of boosting U.S. exports. He welcomed China's move to allow its currency to appreciate and pledged to pursue a new free trade agreement with South Korea. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Toronto.
Meanwhile, the president is calling attacks on his Supreme Court nominee, Elena Kagan, quote, pretty thin gruel. Noting that Kagan has been the dean of a prestigious law school, Harvard, where the president himself earned a degree, Mr. Obama says members of the Senate Judiciary Committee should vote their conscience on the nomination. Hearings on Kagan begin tomorrow. Mr. Obama spoke at the close of the G20 summit in Toronto. The Czech president is expected to name a new prime minister Monday. That move comes after parliamentary elections in May. Bruce Konweiser reports from Prague.
Petr Nečas is expected to be named prime minister. Mr. Nečas heads the right-of-center Civic Democratic Party, which has been leading three-party negotiations on forming a new government. Being named prime minister by the president will give Mr. Nečas the authority to form a new cabinet with his coalition partners. The members of the would-be government hope to take their seats by mid-July so that they can influence spending on next year's budget. The outgoing government, led by Prime Minister Jan Fischer, resigned last week but continues to govern until the new prime minister forms his cabinet. The pending government will have a strong mandate with 118 seats in the 200-seat parliament. For NPR News, I'm Bruce Konweiser in Prague.
Tropical storm Alex is expected to regain strength in the next few days as it moves over the Gulf of Mexico. The storm, which could turn into a hurricane, is headed toward Mexico's Caribbean coast, well away from the area where BP is still trying to shut down a massive oil leak. Meanwhile, psychiatrists are warning that the oil spill may have long-lasting effects on coastal residents, especially those who lived through Hurricane Katrina. Doctors at Louisiana State University and at Columbia University say they're already seeing some of the same symptoms that Katrina survivors showed, and those would include anger, anxiety, excessive drinking, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Center in Miami, is saying Tropical Storm Alex could turn on a dime. This is NPR. A private burial is planned at Arlington National Cemetery for Martin Ginsburg, husband of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Martin died today at their home in Washington, D.C. from cancer. A tax lawyer in his own right, he was also a professor at Georgetown Law School in Washington. The Ginsburg just celebrated their 56th wedding anniversary last week. Martin Ginsburg was 78. Well, the longest-serving member of Congress is seriously ill. John Hingsberger from West Virginia Public Broadcasting reports Senator Robert Byrd is in the hospital.
The 92-year-old senator was admitted to a Washington-area hospital late last week for what appeared to be heat exhaustion and severe dehydration. Byrd's office says other medical conditions have developed, and doctors are describing his condition as serious. Senator Byrd holds the record for congressional service in November, surpassing Democrat Carl Hayden of Arizona, who served for 47 years. Byrd began his career in Washington in 1952. With his election to the House of Representatives, he moved to the Senate 6 years later. This spring, the senator has taken an active part in hearings looking into the cause of the April explosion that killed 29 West Virginia coal miners. For NPR News, I'm John Hingsbergen in Charleston, West Virginia.
Britain's Prince Harry tumbled from his horse today. That's before his defeat in a New York polo match against Argentine equestrian Nacho Figueras. But it was all for a good cause. Winding up a 3-day visit to New York City, the 25-year-old prince fell off his mount during the match, which was a benefit for children in HIV-ravaged Africa. With a smile on his face, he did get back up, and he continued the contest. He did lose, though, 5-6 in overtime. From Washington, I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.